if someone said, do these things and you will be successful in property, you would just do it. But finding the person who can give you the advice on what to do is very, very hard in my experience, personally, and also with clients.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with buyer's agent at Zest Property, Karen Young, who will dive into the best advice on where to find property in a world of spruikers and how you can grow your portfolio through a strategic plan. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. So, what was holding her back from starting to invest in property later in life?
Once I decided to do it, there was nothing holding me back. I'm that sort of person. If I decide I'm going to do something, I'm actually quite determined. But I think the thing holding me back was I was busy. I was too busy living life, and I wasn't really thinking about the future. But once I knew that that's what I wanted to do, then I don't think anything really held me back after that.
Once her interest was sparked, Young set herself on a whirlwind journey to consume as much knowledge on property investing as possible.
I tend to look at, you know, what am I doing at this point in time, and then who can help me with that. So, you know, Margaret Lomas's book was really good, and that was helpful. And then I became involved in that property investing group, and that was really good. That was what I needed at the time. And then after a while, I kind of outgrew that group a little, and then I needed something else. So I latched onto the next thing that was helpful to me at that point in time. So there's been a range of people. I think Troy Harris down in Melbourne, when I first got interested in development, I went to one of his development days. I think it was called Rookie Developer. And that was really interesting, spurred me into an interest in development. There was a couple, I can't remember the name. Oh, Elise and Dean Parker.
Oh, yes.
And they did a renovation product. And it was an amazing product. It really was a fantastic product. And they've got an amazing success story if you're ever looking for people to speak to. They now run a very successful development company here in Queensland. And I actually went over to their house and interviewed Elise Parker. Like, after all these years, she was like this, you know, wow, amazing story. And I actually got to meet her. It was really exciting. It was like meeting somebody's famous. But their reno stuff was really, really good, quality stuff. And I bought their product, and I went and I put it into play. I literally did it, what they said, and I followed it, and I learned so much from it. And, you know, we made a profit out of that project. So they were really helpful. So I think in terms of mentors, I tend to move to, like, what is interesting and what am I looking at this point in time? Who has done that? And I could read their books, I could talk to them, I could, you know, make contact with those people. So I've had a range of mentors at different points in time.
Some further mentors and helpful people included Jane Slack-Smith of Your Property Success, which was also a previous guest here at Property Investory.
Jane Slack-Smith's got a really good renovation product, like an education product, if you're interested in renovation. And the reason I like her product is because it's not just focused on making a house look pretty. It's more focused on choosing the right property location, the one that's going to work, the numbers. It's more focused on that, because renovation isn't about making the house look pretty. It's about making a profit. And so that's a really good product for that.
For Young, the best advice that she has received in a property investment journey isn't even about property investing. She says to have integrity and build relationships are the cornerstones to her success in investment and life.
I think the best advice I've received is sort of a bit, it's a bit generic actually. It's applicable to anything, not just property investing, but maybe three things I can think of. One is maintain your integrity. So there can be a lot of shonkiness in anything to do with making money. There can be a lot of shonkiness and a lot of, you know, dodgy people around, and there's spruikers and there's people who are there to make money from you. But I think you need to be somebody who always maintain your integrity. So even in an individual deal, you don't need to to do wrong by people to benefit yourself. You can have a win-win. I really believe in that, and I think you need to maintain your integrity. Number two, I think people are everything. So this is a relationship business, real estate, and so you need to seek out the people you need, whether that's just because, like we talked about, you need a mentor, you need advice, seek out the people that are going to help you, or whether you are looking for deals, seek out the agents who work in that area and make a relationship with them. Or you're looking at a development site, seek out relationships with a town planner and a building designer. And you know, it's a team sport, really. So people are everything. And then the last thing I think is to believe in yourself. I think that you need to believe in, you know, I can make things happen. And that's something I'm a person, I don't, the whole I can't do this mentality, I'm more of a how can I do this or how can I make this happen person. And I think you need to be that sort of person to make things happen for yourself. So there's a few bits of advice.
It seems that for Young, no concrete strategy is the best strategy. This unique property investment plan is to individually assess the best course of action for each property, whether that be renovation, holding, or selling.
Well, at the moment, my strategy is a morphing strategy. So with every purchase I make, I actually reevaluate what is the point of this purchase, what does this purchase need to do in my portfolio? And I think that's an important thing because, you know, earlier on I would have said my strategy is cash flow positive property because that's what it was when I first started. I wanted 15 cash flow positive properties by the time I learned what my strategy was. But then as I got up to, you know, five or so, I started to think, hang on a minute, these are cash flow positive, but they're realistically making very small sums and I'm going to need a truckload of these to actually retire on this. What I actually need out of this is growth. I need some growth. And it was the growth in the properties. There was a couple of them that grew really well and I thought, you know, it was a bit of an aha moment because you leveraged off the growth to buy more. The cash flow was interesting and helpful, and the fact that it wasn't draining your finances, but it was realistically it was the growth that was leveraging me into more. So I needed to find some growth property as well. And so that's my strategy now is to reassess my strategy for every single purchase. So right now at this point in time, like my last purchase was a middle ring suburb in Brisbane. It's a negatively geared property. Well, actually it's not because it's in my super fund. It's actually neutrally geared. But it's a growth property. It's not one that I plan to make cash flow out of at all. It's a growth property. And obviously in Superfund you can't leverage off the growth, but, you know, it's my retirement plan. So my next property that I'm looking at is actually an equity creator. So I actually want to create a chunk of money out of it or potentially cash flow. I still haven't decided on that. But either way, we're going to build something, find something that we can put sit on it for a few years, put townhouses on it, and then we'll either sell that off for profit or we'll sell part off and keep the other and essentially get, you know, a free townhouse for ourselves that gives us cash flow. So, you know, my strategy is funny because it's not a strategy as such. The strategy is to reassess your strategy every single purchase.
Coming up after the break, we'll take a look at the strategies she employs to help people like you as a buyer's agent.
Try and nut out what the goals are for this particular person. And then from there, we can then make a plan for the next purchase.
As well as the habits that she employs to stay at the top of her game.
I'm a massive list maker, and that includes like goals.
Now, the strategy that is not a strategy is for Young's personal portfolio. But as a professional buyer's agent, what is Young's advice for those that come to see her for help?
Yeah, look, it's a tricky area as a buyer's agent. You are a real estate agent and you can't give financial advice to people. In saying that, there are some buyer's agencies who do provide written financial advice to people, and perhaps they have a financial services license, I'm not sure, but we don't provide written strategies for people. And I think that often is the hardest part when you're getting started is if someone could tell you what to do, you would just do it. If someone said, do these things and you will be successful in property, you would just do it. But finding the person who can give you the advice on what to do is very, very hard in my experience, personally, and also with clients. So I often get phone calls from people or emails from people saying, hey, I'm looking for someone who can help to be my mentor, to give me advice on what to do. And most people out there are giving you advice from a vested interest. So, you know, there's a lot of people who write you a strategy, but they are promoting off-the-plan property, for example. And so they'll write you a strategy on how to buy 6 off-the-plan properties in the next 5 years. But that's, you know, they have a vested interest in obviously selling you that idea. So to find a person who is completely independent to that is difficult. And same with us. Like we, you know, we're a buyer's agency. We can't give financial advice. I do talk to people, though, about this stuff, usually on the phone in an informal way because – honestly, I think the best person who can decide what you need to do is you, but you in conjunction with a bunch of professionals. So I think you need to talk to your accountant, you need to talk to your broker, you need to talk to someone who's got some experience in investing. That can be really difficult because everybody's experience is individual, so they come at it with their own biases as well. So it's a really, really tricky one. So when a client comes to us and says, okay, I've got this money, what should I buy? What's my strategy? I do have a talk to them about, let's have a talk about where you're at in life. Let's have a talk about what your goals are. You know, are you trying to get out of the workforce in the next 2 years? Are you planning on working for the next 10 to 15 years? Are you looking for, do you need something with high cash flow? Is it the growth that you're looking for? So we try and nut out what the goals are for this particular person. And then from there, we can then make a plan for the next purchase. Like I said, I'm sort of a person who believes in flexibility of strategy. So we can nut out what you need at the moment, but that's not necessarily what you need in 10 years' time. So I think the long term here is a 10-year plan strategy. At a high level, it's okay. At a detailed level, I think you're too far out to be doing detailed level analysis.
The job of a buyer's agent is tricky. You must walk the fine line between helpful advice in an outright plan that could backfire on you. So if you were to walk into Young's office today, how exactly could she help you?
Well, we offer a full sort of buyer's agency service. So people will come to us and say, you know, I have this amount of money, I want to buy a property. You know, sometimes I'll say to us, you know, I'm looking to buy a number of properties in the next few years. I'm in the workforce, I've got a good job, I'm probably going to be in the workforce another 10 years. So once we nut out that sort of stuff, we can work out, okay, well, maybe you've got a good income, you can support something that potentially may cost you a little bit of money to hold. Maybe a growth property is a good thing at this point in time. Perhaps, you know, when you drop down, you know, if it's a couple, they may be looking to have kids in the near future, they're going to drop down to one wage. Maybe it's a different style of property at that point. So we talk to them about what they want, and then we establish what's our criteria for this purchase, this next purchase, based on where we think you're heading, what your goals are. So then once we nut that out, we come up with a criteria. So we have a brief. It's a one-pager that says, yep, this is what we're after. Mm-hmm. And then we go into a location analysis phase where we actually analyze and say, okay, based on your brief and your budget, here's what here's the areas that we would suggest. And we actually give them a few ideas, a few recommendations. So it might be north side versus south side, or it might be east versus here, or it might be units on the inner city versus houses on the outer suburban area. And we actually do a report that's specific for what they are trying to achieve. And then we talk about it with them. We're very collaborative, so we actually involve the client at each phase. Because I think the best person to make financial decisions for yourself is you. And so my job is to arm you with the information you need so you can make an informed decision, plus the benefit of our knowledge and experience. Mm. So once the person chooses a target location, then we actually get into the search phase. So we search for the property, negotiate, get something under contract, walk them through the contract phase, help them out with the building pest, maybe renegotiate the price, do the pre-settlement inspection, and then help them with the management of the property. So it's a full end-to-end service. Mm. And then we have variations on that service where we offer just partial parts of that. Maybe just someone rings us up and says, oh, I'm putting an offer in on this property. Can you do an inspection for us? So we have an inspection-only service. We have an inspect and negotiate service. So there's variations, but essentially it's all a variation of that full level service and parts of it that suit people.
It seems most of Young's clientele prefer remote assistance with their investments, which has Young speaking to people from all over Australia and the world.
Interstate and overseas predominantly. We deal predominantly with investors. Mm. In saying that, we do home buyer purchases quite a bit. We've got a couple on the go at the minute. And mostly they'll be interstate investors from Melbourne, Sydney, South Australia, Western Australia. A lot of people who are, you know, away working perhaps in the mines or away working overseas, a lot of expats who want to buy back at home. Mm. So, yeah, we deal a lot with people remotely.
Operating out of Queensland, Young is privy to the nuances of Brisbane market. So how does she describe the current property cycle?
It's busy. It's very busy. We've had you know, quite good growth here in quite a number of areas over the past almost 2 years now. So it has been a growth market here for that time. A lot of people are just getting on board with that, and so we do get the phone calls now and again that you're like, oh, I've heard Brisbane's about to take off. And I think Brisbane's actually been moving for quite some time. So if you're on a property clock, look, it's funny, I was at a meeting not long ago of buyer's agents, Brisbane-based buyer's agents, and people talked about the property clock and where they think it's at, and 10 people there, 10 different views on where it was at. So that was really interesting. And no one knows these things except for in hindsight. So we're all talking about, you know, trying to pick the top of the market, like trying to pick the top of the share market. You can only really do it in hindsight. You could do your best guesses, but realistically no one knows. They're just guessing. And so, you know, where Brisbane is at the moment, I think we've had significant growth for quite a while. I think we're still growing and we're still very busy on the ground. It's still multiple offer situations when you're trying to buy properties. It's still very competitive. But at some point in time, I think that growth is probably starting to slow. That doesn't mean it's going backwards, like houses are losing value. It means the growth is slowing, and a lot of people mix those two things up. So you hear that the growth is slowing and they're like, oh, Chris, Brisbane's going backwards. No, it's not. It's still growing.
Yes.
It's just not at the heat of that flame, yep. You know.
No.
I think, you know, it's going to slow. Whether it takes 6 months to do that, 12 months to do that, whether, you know, I don't know. Certainly when the election was on last year, bang, everything stopped for a month while we all waited to see what happened to negative gearing. Yeah. But, yeah, that's why it's very busy. It's very competitive out there, particularly in the markets that the bread and butter sort of markets between about, you know, 300 and 800,000, really busy.
The relatively cheaper properties of Brisbane, with a median house price of around mid-600,000, compared with Sydney's million-dollar houses, has drawn a lot of interest for investors.
We get clients who are just, you know, I have clients ring me up and say, well, we're looking to buy a townhouse in Brisbane, and I'll say, okay, what's your budget? And I'll say 900,000. And it makes me laugh because you can get a really good house in Brisbane for 900,000. I have a client who we bought a property for, and it was on a 400 square meter block. And I said, well, look, it's a small block. And she came up to look at it. She's like, this is acreage. Like, it was 400 meters, so square meters. And for us, that's a small block.
Young's superpower for property investing is organisation. The management of tasks, duties and goals keeps her on track to success.
I think list making is the thing. So I spoke in our earlier discussion about Asana, the project management system and the task management system, but I'm a massive list maker, and that includes like goals. So actually sitting down and writing goals and putting them somewhere, like documenting them. I make lists. And I make goals. And I think those are the things. If you keep doing those things, then you will keep moving forward. But it's really easy to go, oh, I want to buy a property this year. And then off you go to work and off you go home and then you're looking after your kids and you're going away on a holiday. And like, just to say, I want to buy a property, it doesn't happen because you said that. It happens because you made a commitment and then you took consistent action toward it. So to me, being a list maker and a goal setter is something that's made me successful in business and personally as well.
Do you wish to get in contact with Karen Young? Her advice and helpful hints are available all over the internet and in real life.
Two places you can go. One is everydaypropertyinvesting.com, and that website, you'll find our podcast and you can listen to a whole bunch of free information about property investing. And then the other place you can find me is propertyzest.com.au, and that's our buyer's agency in Brisbane.
Thank you again to Karen Young for joining us on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about her journey as a nurse from Melbourne obsessed with the wonders of modern technology, and then at age 32 realized she needed to get her head in the game of property investment? Then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Karen Young and select that episode to listen and learn more about her story. You can also get the full transcript and show notes on our website.